Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 through 22. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name, a word that I have not commanded, the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. You may say to yourself, How can we recognize a word that the Lord has not spoken? If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, it is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be frightened by it. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
It was lovely. I was sitting in the back of the sanctuary listening and just got kind of taken away in that song and ended up having to rush up here to the front at the end of it. Thank you very much for that. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. I'm reading from the first chapter of Mark, verses 21 through 28. They, meaning Jesus and his disciples, went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed. And they kept on asking one another, What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Our country and indeed the world is in crisis today. From pandemic to economic to environmental to political and yes, religious. Are all in crises in some form or other. Exacerbating these crises are modern media that allow and encourage just about anybody and everybody to express opinions as to how we got into these messes and how we're going to make our way out. There are literally thousands of self-described experts on television, radio, and the internet who claim to have the answers to our problems. And for every opinion, there is a counter opinion. So how do we know who to listen to? This all brought back a childhood memory to me. It's not a childhood memory I am proud of, let me say this to begin with, because it involved a couple of cousins of mine, and two of us were not kind to the third one. We were all three playing in the yard of our grandparents late one afternoon. And one of the cousins' family lived in the next lot on the back side of our grandparents' property. And as we were playing there in that late afternoon, this one cousin's mother came to the back door of their house across the yard and called him in and said, "It's dinner time. Come in." Well, the other two of us were behind a little shed. We were just out of sight of his mother. She didn't see us. All she could see was her son standing in the yard by himself. And my second cousin and I decided to have a little fun at the expense of the third one. And we immediately said to him, and we were older and larger, by the way, we said, "Don't you go anywhere." And he looked at us, and suddenly he was frozen. His mother said, "Come in, it's dinner time." And we said, "Don't you go. You'll be in trouble with us if you go." And then she begins to yell even louder, "Get in here right now," because all she could see was him standing alone in the yard. He was frozen between two voices. The voices of his older cousins threatening him and the voice of his mother calling him to dinner. Our two readings this morning give us some insight into this conundrum. In Deuteronomy, Moses has been and still is the voice of authority for the Hebrew people. Yet, as they are encountering other people, other cultures and religions, they are hearing other voices. And the first thing Moses does in the passage we read this morning is he reminds them that it is their own fear of listening for God's voice that resulted in them needing a prophet in the first place. They were afraid that they would die if they heard the voice of God, and so they prayed for a prophet. Now, this alone is something I think we need to ponder. Why is it that people in general are not willing to take time nor give effort to discerning the greater good in life? Most of us are usually prone to look to other people for answers to our problems, when in many cases, a little common sense is all that is needed. Sure, the complexities of our time can easily overwhelm anyone. But somewhere within the systems, the technologies, and the theories of the world are a couple of simple, basic questions that we can always ask ourselves. First, we can ask, is it true? Is what we hear true? And take the time to find out if it is true. And second, does it contribute to a greater good, or is it just for my own self-interest and comfort? If we would explore these two questions about the voices that we hear in our world today, we would find a way that is truer, that is more for the common good of everyone. And in a way, this is what Moses is saying to the people of Israel when he tells them, if a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, it is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be frightened by it if it's not true. And in some ways, I think this is why the people of Jesus' day were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. His words ring true. Jesus' teaching usually cuts through the complexities of life and gets down to the basics. The quintessential example of this is his summary of the law. When asked, what does the law mean? He simply says, love God, love your neighbor. He has a way of reminding us that even in the confusion and chaos of modern times, there are still simple answers to what appear to be complex problems. But Jesus didn't just teach. He also practices what he preaches. So often in these stories of Jesus, he is proclaiming and teaching the good news of the kingdom of God among us, and he takes an opportunity that is at hand to actually demonstrate it. And such is the case in this story. Right in the middle of his teaching in the synagogue, here comes a man with an unclean spirit, as the story describes him, a false voice. And Jesus rebukes the falseness. He practices what he preaches right there. How many of us need to practice rebuking falseness? How many of us have the courage to do that? When we're speaking with someone and we hear something that we know is not true, we can always politely say, that's not true. That may be your opinion, but it's not true. If we have taken time to seek the truth. And this is what Jesus does right here in this story. He rebukes this false voice. Jesus doesn't just talk about compassion. He practices compassion. Jesus doesn't just talk about justice. He extends justice to those around him. He doesn't just talk about healing, he heals. And in practicing what he preaches, he reveals his authenticity, his authority. His authority, his integrity. And this is what the people sense when they say, this is something new. There's an old proverb that I discovered is usually attributed to Miguel de Cervantes in his story of Don Quixote. And this short little proverb says, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Now, the proof is not in the pudding, as most of us have heard it, that the proof is in the pudding. Now, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Pudding is just pudding until someone eats it. And then and only then do we know whether it's good or bad. The proof is in the eating. Jesus says this a slightly different way in another place in the gospel. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Not by their words, but by their fruits. And the same is true of the voices of our time. We know their truth by their fruits, by actions, by results of actions. These are the ways that we can discern in our culture today. And what is our guideline in this? It's the good news of the gospel. It's the kingdom Jesus proclaims. And this kingdom exposes falseness, heals disease, addresses greed, suspicion, selfishness, and violence, while bringing forth the greater good of healing, freedom, justice, trust, community, and compassion. This is what Jesus teaches us, and this is what Jesus models, and this is the fruit that we should be looking for in our lives and the lives of others and in the words that we hear. So in the end, it's relatively simple. It's not as hard as we're led to believe to hear God's voice among all the others. Because God's voice is the one at our deepest created core. God's voice is the voice of our mothers calling us to dinner. God's voice is the voice of creation itself. The voice that when all others are silenced says, it's good. It's very good. This amazing, wonderful experience in which we live. God's voice says, you are loved. It's simple. But the difficulty is in knowing it and living it. I ran across a quote this week from Soren Kierkegaard that strikes at our hearts. It says, the matter is quite simple. The Bible is very easy to understand, but we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. We pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand it, we must act accordingly. Take any words in the New Testament and forget everything except pledging yourself to act accordingly. My God, you will say, if I do that, my whole life will be ruined. How would I ever get on in the world? I've heard people actually say that about the words of Jesus. Why, he wasn't serious. He didn't mean that. We couldn't live like that. Now, please don't misinterpret this as literalism or infallibility. Please. The Bible is filled with fanciful story and poetic language and allegory and metaphor and mystery. That's because it's about the human experience. Yet, its central truth is simplistically evident. What we believe matters, but how we live out those beliefs matters exponentially more. So with all the words around us today, we do have a guidepost. We have the guidepost of our scriptures. We have the guidepost of Jesus. The guidepost of the prophet Moses, who says, is it true? Is it good for the community, for everyone? Listen to the world around you, but look for the truth and act accordingly. Amen. Sometimes the closing hymn speaks to me in ways that I had not anticipated. But some of these words are so descriptive of our times. Lord, the demons still are thriving in the gray cells of the mind. Tyrant voices, shrill and driving, twisted thoughts that grip and bind. Doubts that stir the heart to panic, fears distorting reason's sight, guilt that makes our loving frantic, dreams that cloud the soul with fright. Clear our thought and calm our feeling, still the fractured, warring soul. By the power of your healing, make us faithful, true, and whole. You know, I left my little cousin sitting out in the middle of the yard earlier in that story. I want you to know that it didn't take him long to choose his mother and run home. He knew where he was protected. He knew who took care of him. And he knew that we also feared his mother. So in a way, maybe that story pulls it together and says, the voices that are calling us in the world today, we just need to be listening for the voice of our mother. Our mother God. God is our mother. calling us to compassion, calling us to kindness, calling us to justice, calling us to equity. And this is the voice that we follow. God is calling us home to dinner. And we need to respond. Amen.